is the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, all we have is us, which is quite a lot. We'll be unfurling. It's the confluencing of allies. And so, more than perfectly, I welcome longtime ally Heather Rowan Robbins, that we may animate all of our participatory skills, invoke our metaphoric allies. I like Nemesis being on speed dial. Nemesis that's come to mean enemy, but we are creatively suspicious, going, why? What is the originating liberating impulse? She is the goddess who brings down unjust empire and unjust fortune. And she quips, no fortune without a felony. And then I'm enamored of this quote, Rumi quote I ran across recently. 'Tis the practice of lightning to laugh through the storm. And we go, okay. Our trickster selves. So Heather Rowan Robbins, we've known each other for decades, is a practical, intuitive, choice-oriented astrologer. Yes, it's not what's going to happen, it's what's the assignment. Interfaith minister, author of Star Codes book, The Star Codes Astro Oracle Deck, the weekly Star Codes forecast, and contributes to the Wee Moon calendar. Very useful. She organizes the Shining Mountain Grove for the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids. Yes, come on in. And has an online global practice based in Montana. Her website is rowanrobbins.com. Welcome. Welcome, Heather.
Oh, it's so good to be here back with you, Caroline. We've been talking for decades.
Decades and decades. That's right. And the last time I hosted you on the show was right before the election. Even then, we brought in Nemesis, a personification of dynamic balance aroused in humans by those who committed crimes with apparent impunity or who had undeserved good fortune. She directed human affairs in such a way as to maintain equilibrium. She is kin to Dark Moon Lilith, the balance point. The destroyer. Nemesis' name was derived from the Greek words nemesis, nemo, meaning dispenser of dues. We go, okay, we like that. Yeah, so we get to dive in. There's so much. What I wanted to put on our table, Mars retrograde in Cancer, will honor that, but it's like all of us, to be protectors. And one image is that we're all walking Leonard Peltier home safe. You know, his release date is not till February 18th, and we know we're in this environment of churlish cruelty. We go, no. And I've been inspired to rewatch the movie Thunderheart. It's really good. Because it is the weaving of, you know, ancestral wisdom and participatory animism to defeat even the most evil parts of in that movie, the FBI. But it's the whole context from which Leonard emerged. So that's really humming. So shall we all imagine ourselves walking Leonard Peltier home safe? Yeah.
May he get there. Yes, indeed.
May he get there. And walking Palestinians home safely. And then, you know, Mars is retrograde in Cancer. We can see it at night. It's really beautiful. The sky story is great. After sunset, we get to see Saturn and Venus, very bright, having just entered Aries. Woof, woof. Woof, woof, woof.
And we can't see it, but Neptune's right next to Venus. So
Saturn,
and then Neptune right between that. And when you see Venus, know that Neptune's there just in the shadows.
Yes, and then we get to see Jupiter and Mars. It's a great sky story.
It is.
So Mars, the protector, and in Cancer, which is the realm of history and kinship, and we just incantate, as we've done for a long time, the beginning of Br'er Rabbit. Dare was times when all de critters used to gather to sagacuate. Just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they all remembered they were kin, right? So remembering kinship, remembering kinship. Ah, there we go. So, wherever we want to go, I like we'll honor everybody. I have come to feel that the language we both love of astrology in its deepest form, it really is a guide as to what it is to be a fully participatory Earth citizen. That as we mention the planets, these are all qualities or powers within all of us, You know, and so, you know, Mars in Cancer, the protector, and very grateful to the Standing Rock people who switched out the word protester for protector, because yes. Protester comes from protest. It does. It's why
that's a great image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's why women can't testify, because it's the same. It's derived from testes. We can ovify. We've gathered to ovify. This right.
I like that. That's beautiful. Yeah. And you know, with and the election was a really interesting example about how our language of astrology can unfold in a million ways, and it's very hard for any of us to be objective enough to read all the possibilities. That's why we love this language. It is symbolic. It's not for prediction, but it's for navigation. How do we use this time to the best of our abilities? And along with that, you know, the Mars in Cancer retrograde, which is speaking about so much. And I think that in this time of, you know, arguing about gender identity, it's so beautiful that Venus right now is in one of the most traditionally masculine signs, Mars, and Mars is in one of the traditionally feminine sides, Cancer, that there is that. Every human on Earth has a Venus and a Mars, that they are, that those energies, that yin and yang, weaves throughout all of us in various different proportions and sort of shows what a lie the process is of trying to define them by you know, legislation rather than by listening to the soul of each individual being brought here on Earth.
Yeah, so Venus in Aries, woof, 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 Mars in mm-hmm. Cancer, wuzza, 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 protector. And so it really is like, all right, more room for everybody, more room for everybody, mm-hmm. all kind, welcome. And I've come to feel with Pluto, the principle, the intelligence of death, rebirth, intensity in Aquarius. So it's like, all right, we're reblooming the earth from the compost of collapsing empire, right? So it's really, you know, it's as though the backstage divine says, you humans, we'll help you out, you know, with your dedication. But all you have to do is completely reinvent human culture to be inclusive and to be, you know, dedicated to humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, also known as trickster, which is Uranus having stationed... Retrograde goes direct last week. So here we go, outward forces. And then the beauty of exact midwinter, which was February 3rd and 4th, when Jupiter was stationing, to go outward. We'll honor this. But, you know, after the election, yes, people know this, you know, playing Leonard Cohen's song, You Want It Darker. And it's like, I guess we did. A thousand candles lit for the help that never came. You extinguished the flame. You want it darker. But we just had midwinter and Jupiter going forward will honor this. And midwinter is when Persephone lights the flame that was extinguished and begins ascending up out of the underworld and we with her. So there is a rousing response now, right? I mean, a rousing response in all state capitals and with a thing, and we'll honor, you know, and lawsuits. Jupiter is many
beautiful
things, but it's the protector, and it's also the legal system. It's many ideas, you know, and it's with stationing at. Say what?
Jupiter in Gemini speaks of the expansion of diversity, not the limitation of it. That,
yes,
you know, it's the all our siblings that come in together with that Jupiter in Gemini. That's what will bring the connection and the power.
And I think one of our skills that we want to cultivate, Jupiter in Gemini, the capacity to hold at least two stories at once, and which is what irony is. And something I keep in my pocket and often reference, you know, the linguistic study in Britain that said, to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they can have the capacity for compassion. And I love that because it's surprising at first, like, what? But to be ironic, part of our skill, is to hold, you know, two stories at once, what is and what should be. This is for everybody. What is and what should be, and what is and what people are pretending it is. right, which is satire and addressing that. And to be compassionate is to hold more and more stories simultaneously. So nuance, complexity, no black and white, you know, this person did this good thing and then this bad thing. And we go, yeah, okay. We we encourage the good, you know, and compost the bad, going over here. So there is collapsing empire into compost to rebloom the earth. May it be so. That's a metaphor that we like. I like that metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. So as we reference folk heroes and mythological beings, you know, it's like whatever we put on our altar, our words, our plighting our troth, our dedication, you know, is a template that backstage power is eager to animate. So,
And that fits so well with Neptune coming to conjunct the North Node. That really we're being called, that's a real call to vision, to seeing beyond what this is. And I think of the vision that we can hold now we have to imagine there is a place beyond the rapids in order to get through these. Like, what is our lighthouse? What vision of a better future? What Neptunian dream that we can, when Neptune kicks into Aries in the spring, and we'll talk about that in a minute, I think, that there's about to be a real drive for action. But action without a goal, without a direction, waste energy. So right now is, while all this nasty vision is coming up and the breaking down of old systems, what can we imagine as that vision ahead? That North Node is calling us to dream a better dream, to have a goal, to have a place that we're working towards, not just protesting against. And I think that's been, you know, that got broken down and needs to be revised.
And I love that, yeah, Neptune and the North Node's image is a prism, you know, a unity. We're all in this dream together. And the South Node, it's where the moon crosses the ecliptic, is one of my favorite degrees, 28 plus Virgo, which is in a cave overhung with twisted roots, a seeker pours over the glowing pages of an illuminated alchemical manuscript. And that was the part of fortune on the election day, which is like, all right, all esoteric people, all everything you've ever practiced, you know, we want our good magic to compost the up to no good chaos magic, you know. So calling all esotericists, everything that everyone has ever studied in every chapter of their life, now it's the time to tease it into practice. What would it mean to practice this? So. That's a beautiful, strong thing. And we love that right now the moon and Jupiter are rising together. It'll be a glorious sight tonight and tomorrow night. And the moon is at the degree where Uranus was when this country was founded, whose image is a quiver filled with arrows. There are images for each degree of the zodiac. And I love it's got a quintile, an irresistible, eloquent connection to the Pisces planets. So in keeping with that, we go, well, each of us, let's say each of us has a quiver filled with arrows, and may they be tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. Fatum, fatum, fatum. And Jupiter's stationing degree image is black women standing up for all of our rights, which is why when I was anticipating that, I was like, oh, looks good for Kamala. No, but there's plenty of black women standing up for our rights in each one of us, too. And you were bringing up Jasmine Crockett, right?
Yeah, what a powerful chart she has with the Sun, Mars-Sun conjunction with Venus all in Aries, opposed a conjunction with Jupiter and Saturn. And she has her moon in Capricorn, so, and I don't know exactly what degrees, it could be squaring that, with a sympathetic a Mercury in Pisces, that she's got action, she is willing to go to bat, she's got the organization, the empathy to get things done. But she's really speaking up clearly right now. I'm very impressed with her forthrightness.
And the art of insult. You know,
it isn't art.
It is an art to keep everything in play, and you know, and as we talk, all of our listening participants, we're really convening a council disguised as a radio show. You know, just whatever hums in each one of us, you know, going, ooh, yes, well, the art of insult, yes, and irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love that opens portals between worlds. That's the quality of the quintile. And as Neptune is at the very last degrees of Pisces, it's like all the powerful images, all the powerful spiritual teachings, everything that ever was or will be is here now. Mm-hmm. You know, and we spoke about a lot of astrologers, you know, a long time ago, were like, what do you think about Neptune moving into Aries? And it's like, it depends on what we do with it now. Whatever we're conjuring together, you know, will become animated, right? So, and I just want to go back
Aries
to Mars
animates.
And Aries animates, right? And I want to go back to Mars and Cancer, which will go direct forward motion on the 23rd, and it's the arrow of desire. And I love the metaphor that I've created of when planets are retrograde, they appear to be moving backwards from the Earth's perspective. And so let's say we all have a bow and arrow. So in one hand, we can feel it now. In one hand, we have the bow. In our other hand, we're pulling the bow string and the arrow back. In this case, it's the Mars arrow, the arrow of desire. And then on the 23rd, just for the fun of it, we let it go. So for each one of us to play with the power of metaphor, to go, if we entertain the possibility that we're brewing, you know, and remembering history, we'll come back to that, you know, and we have our bow and our bow string, you know, you don't have to hold it until February 23rd. You can put it down every now and then and pick it back up, going, if we entertain the possibility that we're moving into a dynamic, you know, constellated kinship with all of our trickster skills, that we've just outsourced, you know, authority to the Inquisition oligarchy hybrid, going, whoa, but in our mythic memory, we go, we know about Inquisitions, and we've learned some things, too, you know, about how you spiral out of polarity, you don't feed the Dementors, but, yeah, so I love, you know, some smart wag was using the oft-repeated quote, you know, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it, but they added, those who suppress the teaching of history intend to repeat it. It's like, oh, that's good. Isn't that good?
Yes, that is excellent.
Yeah, that's really fun. So,
So I want to take that back to a point of history. When you talk about Neptune going into Aries, and that it animates the vision that we have now, which is one reason why it's so important to reclaim our vision before the end of March when Neptune goes into Aries. It'll come back out into Pisces in the fall, then go back into Aries early in 2026. But the last time that Neptune entered Aries was the within the day of when America began its civil war in 1861. And that powerful turning point with that Aries sun and the Aries, Neptune in Aries, you know, the least imaginative use of Aries is to go to war and to have a fight. The most, you know, but it is about spring renewal. It's about coming back alive. It's about life force, you know, filling the daffodils in the springtime and everything returning after a long winter. So I want that area. We have to imagine how we can, you know, reclaim our vision of what where we want this country to go, revivify it, and use that. But when the animation energy builds up, where do we want to take it? Now, at this time in history, the outer planets, have you ever seen a time when all the outer planets have changed signs within 2 years?
It is noteworthy.
Pluto just went into, it left Capricorn and went into Aquarius. They've left all yin signs going into yang signs. Saturn is in Pisces now is about to go into Aries. Neptune is in Pisces going into Aries. Uranus in Taurus is going into Gemini. They're all switching signs in a short period of time. That's very discombobulating, but it's also ripe with potential. It is, you know, it is, let's do something about this. Now, if we can get this moving towards working together for climate change, it could be a powerful shift. But we're right now, we're spending all that energy dealing with this nonsense. So, and deciding whether or not we're going to stop supporting healthcare and instead go towards, you know, build a company on Mars. Now, this energy right now is like reclaiming that vision of a healthier world and a more empowered world and putting that into action and not letting that vision be stolen. It is interrupted. It's being, trash is being put in the place. It's like suddenly a storm has hit. But that doesn't change that long run, the vision that we can make this work. We can find a way through on the other side.
And because we are pattern tracking beings, you had mentioned when we were backstage that April 12th, 1861, Neptune into Aries, the first battle of the Civil War. Well, David Hogg was born on April 12th, 2000, and he was just elected to be the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, which is quite heartening. And Tim Walz was backing him up. These are very positive Yang guys, very positive Yang guys. And I remember the Parkland shooting. And I was figuring it out, going, okay, if they were that age then they were mostly born in 2000 because they were about to graduate. So I go, so they're dragons. They're dragons. They're dragons, and with the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Taurus, they're dragons protecting the Earth. And David Hogg and the Parkland youth, who organized incredible rallies, just incredible, they really embodied one of the things I love most, which is to transform the experience and the word trauma into my dangerous, beautiful assignment. And those Parkland youth, they did that. They took tragedy and horror and cooked it into dedicated mission. You know, and that's, you know, before us all, and we go, And just a kind of word about the team and paddling together. We'll have a short little paddling together anthem in a moment if we paddle together. Yeah, what you said about the place beyond the rapids and, you know, let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. And great wilderness poet guide David Grimes said, in the most turbulent of rapids, there's always a silver tongue of calm. You want to find that. I love that. And then since we're all in this dream together, I just have a little short clip of Waikuki Kangi and Tanya Wolfgram, my great Maori allies that we presented at Bioneers years past. But they started off by saying, if we paddle together, we can do impossible things. So here's just a little bit of that. And for everybody listening, just to participate along, here's Waikuki Kangi encouraging us to paddle together. Here we go.
Kia mau.
Hi. Hi.
Tēnā tautau.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
Rowing the canoe.
Hi. Hi.
Rini wā.
Hi. Hi.
Te re wā.
Hi.
Te re kita.
Hi.
Tai kita.
Hi.
Haka tuate.
Hi.
Tauai tawhiti.
Hi.
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 Hi. Ka ngā hau e whā. E na guru nei,
ha,
hi.
There we go. I hope you're all going, hee.
Beautiful.
Hee. Paddling together. Right. Now, again, that's the quality. And there's a lot of, you know, of rousingness. And then I just want to, you know, a lot of our language, the good team language, but it's still very polarity. And there is that default setting of fight, you know, and it's like, oh, maybe other words just to add to the thing. So it's not just fight. You know, we can replace it with, I had a list here, but it seems to have disappeared. But I like the word, you know, fight, outsmart, dedicate, you know, all these different options, because Jupiter in Gemini says the more words, the more stories, the more metaphors, the more pathways of participation we have. And Uranus, trickster genius within us all, says, we are big beings, you know, dancing with you. We don't really care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice, and whatever you choose to do is going to fly. So you could use the word fight over and over again. You know, out of many, many, I have 20 words here, and I choose to use the word fight, and it's like, good for you, as if it's a choice rather than a habit, because there's no prison for the unexpected, right? And we want to talk about metaphoric and linguistic, you know, unpredictability as part of our...
I think that comes back to the power of language, as you were saying. I'd like to use the word steer rather than fight. That's fight, there is a point for fighting, but that's not the end. That's only the beginning. You can fight off, and you can weed a garden, but that doesn't give you a healthy garden. You have to plant and grow and nurture what you want to grow instead. And I think, you know, if I was to say there was any... you know, not to fault find, because there's so many reasons why the election went the way it did. But I had worried when I hear that the motto and the chant was, we won't go back, because the psyche does not read negatives. Every hypnotherapist and ritualist knows this. You need to know what is your intention, and the psyche will read the intentions by what you're speaking of. So you can't say, you know, get rid of my cancer and focus on cancer, because you're focusing on, you're energizing what you're focusing upon. You can think, let my cancer, you know, let me get rid of it and retain my health and come back to life. In this case, we won't go back was focusing on going back. And I, again, I don't blame it, but I think if we want to use the power of words with this, we have to come back to keeping an eye on, you have to weed, but you need to nurture and plant what you want instead. And that has to be done in the power of our languaging.
Yeah, and then just to expand all of our vocabulary, you know, there was a woman making puzzles, and she wired people's brains up. And when we put a puzzle piece in place, the brain has a little orgasm, like, And when we learn a new word, the brain also has an orgasm of delight, like, great. So I like, you know, rather than fight, yes, we go dedicate is pretty good. Deliberate is a wonderful word. It comes from Libra, and it comes from two verbs, librare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So when we are deliberate, we're in a state of liberating balance. We go, oh, that's great. Outsmart is good, satirize is good, dissolve, bless, shapeshift. Again, the more words, the more metaphors, the more pathways to participatory, whatever, we'll play with that. And then there is this huge, you know, attack on everything, on all life, and this grotesque, vulgar cartoon of cruelty. It is the lowest devolutionary nadir of our rogue species that we've outsourced our Saturn to. We will address that more on the other side of the break, you know. But in honor of Dark Moon Lilith and Nemesis, it's like you want it darker. We'll go darker in a deep positive way. We'll go beneath that. You know, Saturn says depression too shallow. Go deeper. What's your dedication? It's a great time now to dedicate Mars, you know, trine Saturn right now, to dedicate, you know, energetically, inwardly, and then that goes forward on the 23rd, just for the fun of it. So I've chosen for our break music some very kind of Dark Moon Lilith, woman power, not fooling around, you know, at all. Like, here we are, woof, 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 Venus in Aries, you know, and a comedian degree, so we want, you know, all of that, and Mars and Cancer. It's like the satirical book, Women Who Eat Like the Wolves and the Men Who Love Them, which is good. So it's like, yes, you know, and the backup, the Mars and Cancer really is about husbandry, the positive, strong enough to be gentle, masculine, right? So. So I've chosen for our short break music. We've just got sort of 2 minutes, but it's rousing, and hang in. My wonderful ally in perpetuity, backwards and forwards, is Heather Rowan Robbins, and she is a great practical intuitive and choice-oriented astrologer. Her website is RowanRobbins.com. And here comes Coco Taylor, just so we can feel the kind of dark moon Lilith, positive, feminine. Here we go. Coco Taylor.
Venus and Aries.
Woman. Yeah, right. Very. Here we go.
Everything gonna be all right. Oh, yeah. When I was a little girl, only 12 years old, I couldn't do nothing to save my doggone soul.
Thank you, Coco Taylor. I hope we're all undulating. Remember, the sky rivers have stalled due to human rudeness about the climate. They've lost the capacity to undulate. So undulating is good, and we can replace the overused word impact. You want a short, violent encounter? What about a long, curvy influence? What about a long, curvy, undulating influence? So Coco is inviting us to go, oh. And that's the spicy woman within us all, regardless of extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment. You're going, woof, 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 and we go, woof. And then there's some spicy woofiness that I think Coco brings, right? And but just I want to honor a couple of Jupiter's protector and bless, our team who brought what? Lawsuits are great. And it's in keeping everything physical is also metaphoric. So NASA had said some years back that any other solar system with a blue planet like Earth must have a Jupiter gas giant, because Jupiter protects the Earth from asteroids. And I go, Jupiter, principle of curiosity and journeying and philosophy and laws that are in accord with nature. And it's the protector. I love that. So we're all dedicating to being protectors. So here's a fun thing that's witty as effective. Breaking. Democrats go right for Elon Musk's jugular and introduce a bill to ban special government employees from obtaining federal contracts, directly threatening his lucrative government gravy train. The best part is the name of the bill. Representative Mark Pocan introduced the legislation, which is entitled Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy, which is an anagram for Elon Musk. Isn't that adorable?
That is.
Eliminate and Looting of Our Nation. What?
Yes, please, let's do that. And his chart's interesting. If you look at it, you would say it's in a manic phase. His chart is, the Cancer Sun rising, Mercury could be compassionate or not. Mars in Aquarius could be see the big picture, or it could depersonalize and step back. He has that Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, which is can be intuitive, but it's often connected to blood sugar problems and addiction issues. And he's mentioned that he does ketamine about every other week for his long-standing depression. Now, those two planets oppose his Saturn. He's got daddy issues big time. He's still trying to prove himself to his awful father, who he says is awful, but he still seems to be trying to prove himself to. Moon in Virgo. But what's interesting is right now in his progress chart, the progress lunar new moon happens once every 30 years, roughly. And he's about 2 months out of the progress lunar new moon in Leo. So for a Cancer sun, Cancer rising, moon in Virgo, he's in a double Leo phase, which is really acting out. And it has been acting out intensely, you know, for 27 years while his progressed sun's there, but his progressed moon for the last 2 years in particular has been cranked on full. Now, in about 5 months, it begins to calm down, but it shifts gears. But right now, it's wired. And we see that both his progressed planets, next week's, they're on the full moon in Leo on early Wednesday morning, is going to be that full moon is opposed to that Sun and Mercury in Aquarius, and they both square Uranus exactly, or within a degree. And that full moon will be right on Elon's Sun and Moon, and it will be right on that Leo Sun and Moon, will be right on Donald Trump's rising sign, and which is, you know, late Leo, and his natal Mars is at 26 Leo. So that full moon sitting right on Trump's Mars, Uranus is sitting right on Trump's midheaven, Uranus, Ornos, primordial chaos, that's supposed to take things out of gear and help find new sparks in the storm. But that Uranus, they are squaring his Mars. And Uranus square your Mars is one of the most erratic, acting out, wired, compulsive. You know, it can help you break your patterns, but it can also be totally crazy. So Uranus is really hitting Trump's chart heavily. It's right on his midheaven. It's square his ascendant, and it's right on Elon Musk's chart. Now, all of this begins to quiet down within 5 months. Other things pick up, but this kind of wired, chaotic energy is so strong in both of their charts right now. And their charts are so entwined at the moment.
Well, it is a conundrum, when looking at anybody's chart going, what could have this have been that would have been adorable? Well, we don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you tell from a chart like, oh, up to no good? But I love our late ancestor ally astrologer J. Jacobs quipping, a Cancer is just a Scorpio in a housecoat. It's a wonderful true astrological joke, because all signs have their PR. I'm very sensitive. Yeah, he's got a sensitive underbelly. I'm very sensitive, but I'm just as fierce as a Scorpio. I just look squidgier. There's that dynamic, and then we go, and then just reading the old astrology books, Moon Square Saturn, I just remember I would have a different take on it, the Gemini Virgo, to take esoteric wisdom and translate it into accessible cultural vernacular, but no, he's not doing that. But the old timey books, which, we crack them open, would be Moon Square Saturn is such a depressed parent, such an undervaluing in childhood that nothing is enough to make up for it. It's like the eight levels of hell, that there's nothing that can feed that. However, for ourselves, the full moon on the 12th on Wednesday at 24 plus Leo is kind of, for us, it's a large camel crossing the desert, sense of adventure, questing, facing new phases of life, self-sufficiency, resilience, getting through a difficult period by being prepared, wrestling with stubborn realities, a dashing mobility. And we go, all right, we'll go for that thing. you know, and it's true that, you know, the Leo dynamic in everybody, and you're talking about Elon's progressed Leo and Trumpelstiltskin's, you know, Leo thing, is you go create ritual or live melodrama, take your pick. And I did find the quote that I'd been keeping. So Trump said this repeatedly in 2014. And I remember because he was tweeting back and forth with Elon Musk in 2014, and he said this, and then he repeated it on Fox News. And what he said was, you know what solves it? When the economy crashes, when the country goes to hell and everything is a disaster, then you'll have, and he laughs, you know, you'll have riots to go back to where we used to be when we were great. That's the agenda. I mean, from 2014, probably before, but in 2014, he said that over and over again in tweets and on Fox News and all of that. I just want to repeat it again so we really understand the limited playbook here. But what's up? You know what solves it? When the economy crashes, they want that. When the country goes to hell and everything is a disaster, then you'll have... laughing, you know, you'll have riots to go back to where we used to be when we were great. It's like, okay, so everybody just take that in. So metaphorically and literally, we want to pour, you know, to cool out the conflagration, to cool that out, you know, and to all of us, you know, who brought what, all skills and all strategies and all of those things, and just to bring forth, there's great rousing goodness. You know, and there's many great commentators. I've run across some, you know, well, here and there, and even onto Facebook. I'm grateful for people who are just going, pay attention to this and pay attention to that. It's a good team, expansive team, you know, and one can criticize everything. You know, I want to go USAID. Yes, people have said, you know, there's criticisms to be made, but it's a fundamentally, you know, a lot of lives are counting on that. And then there's the rousing meetings at outside the building of USAID and the Treasury Department, and all of these things, and the all around the capitals, you know, people showing up. So there is this rousing Pluto in Aquarius, which is tyranny or egalitarian community. Mm-hmm. Take your pick, right? Mm-hmm. So here we are, and. Yeah.
And I think that's the nature of the beauty I see. In astrology, the choice-based approach is nothing is inevitable. It is what you focus at, how you direct it, and what you do with it. And, you know, I think Trump has shown you what, you know, to have. He has very willful handwriting if you look at his signature. And if you have a specific vision and focus on it, it can happen. And so we have. How do we counter with our own specific and powerful vision? And I'm going to keep coming back to that as the process moves forward here. We were talking about one of the other things that. So we are getting coming back to an astrological process that began the Civil War, and it's interesting that we're coming back to the whole DEI question of what, you know, who has rights in this country and what are those rights. Now, as we look at the beginning of the Civil War, Uranus was in Gemini also at that time. Venus was in Aries as Neptune moved into Aries that night. And the next day is when Lincoln declared, the first battle had been the day before, and the next day was when Lincoln declared the Civil War. But how do we, again, moved past, you know, war, and the idea of steering, I want to help people that it's always in motion. And Heather Cox Richardson recently was quoting a truck driver who, you know, when he says, you know, that one of his advice to people is when people are about to have an accident and things are scary, they tend to pull their hands off the wheels and cover their eyes or panic. He said, keep your hands on the steering wheel. Keep steering. When it gets scary, don't, you know, stay in control. And I think that is a beautiful image for us in this process. Because we're also coming back to the Pluto return of the American Constitution. that vision statement, you know, imperfect as it is, but quite powerful, the vision statement of from September 17th, 1787 is when it was signed. And right now, the progress moon for the it is heading in Leo, heading across the top of the chart. It looks like for the next 5 years, in particular, while the constitution comes back to its Pluto return, it comes back to the, and Pluto returns what we saw with America, because America went through its Pluto return on January 6th at the end of the last Trump administration. That America, you know, it comes to a place, Pluto takes everything to the edge of death and rebirth, and then can bring it back stronger than ever. We often see the most successful times in people's lives are after they have survived a Pluto transit. It's an empowering test. It builds strength and soul. And so the American Constitution is going to be going through this empowering test. And if we can work towards that, you know, it's going to be in the next 5 years. It's going to be on, you know, right there, working with it, tested and empowered, I think, as we come out of this.
And our alliance with always with trickster, you know, let all tyranny serve as incentive to experimentally bring alive liberating ingenuity, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and inviting it in. It's like backstage says, we'd like to help, but we need to be asked. We go, okay, with our voices, with our dedication. So this is witty. Brian Driscoll was accidentally catapulted into the acting director's chair of the FBI on January 20th and has defended the Bureau from the potential of mass firings, inspiring memes and satirical clips. Trickster's alive and witty. To start, Mr. Driscoll's appointment was an accident, right? They meant to put somebody else Driscoll there. I love that. So they put the wrong agent as the acting director, and then we're like, oh, it's too much trouble to change. Even if he, in the article in the New York Times says, even if he was not meant to be leading the agency, he has defended the rank and file. His refusal at the time to furnish the names of employees as top Justice Department officials desired, and his insistence that a formal review process be put in place, has spurred widespread support for Mr. Driscoll. Former agents jokingly called his appointment a providential mistake. And so there's satirical memes and all kinds of great things coming up. So we love that, right? So trickster in play again, against all odds. It's the part of us. It's, you know, again, as the show, my whole life has been dedicated to Coyote and Trickster and Raven and, you know, seeds that sprout after cataclysm. And you know, we can do this. So it comes alive in dangerous times. There's even, you know, in Brazil, the word Jotinha. It's the powerful magic that comes alive in dangerous times. And we say magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. Not condone, but just to cooperate with everything. And you know, what you were saying about hypnosis and concentrate on the desirable. The art of peace, right? We just bring up everything by Morihei Ueshiba, who is the antidote to Trump. Trump's born with the full moon, sun in Gemini, moon in Sagittarius. Morihei Ueshiba is born with the sun in Sagittarius, moon in Gemini. He's the antidote. So the art of peace says, do not gaze at your opponent's weapons. He will terrify you. Do not gaze at his eyes. He will mesmerize you. Create your own magnetic field, and then you can sit anywhere you like. And that's, you know, I think part of our dynamic going, right, create our own dynamic field. You know, and what you were saying, and also I love teachings from everywhere, the sacred teachings of the dog whisperer, which is when I had a, you know, a hybrid wolf and a half coyote dog, wonderful. But they were big lungers at other dogs when we walked by, and of course I would pull them, you know, anticipate. And the dog whisperer says, animals see the images in our brain. When you see dogs and go, uh-oh, and you see them lunging, they go, oh, well, that's what we're going to do. And what he said, it's in keeping with what you just said. He said, avoid nothing, create your own directional field, and just, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It worked. I mean, my aggressive wolf coyote dog, we were like, all right, this is where we're going. No image of them doing what I didn't want them to do, right? And that's just part of for all of us to experiment, the hypnotherapy, and then also to tell the story. So irony is, mm-hmm. Two stories at once, what is and what should be, but also what is and what people are pretending it is. And to be fully informed, what is and what should be, the lack of information, we're looking at, pandemics. There's an Ebola outbreak in Africa. There's a Marburg virus outbreak in Africa. 90% fatality rate for the Marburg virus, right? But people are going crazy because epidemiologists are like, we don't have the CDC's, reports on where is it and how to contain it. And remember, this is the COVID pandemic, doing research. Second century medical writers said pandemics occur when tyrants are in power. Go, right? Mm. Yeah, right. And the excellent book Spillover, written before the by David Quammen, written before the COVID thing, but it's just a fact that the virologists who are great detectives say, pandemics occur when humans despoil natural habitat. That's just it.
Yeah.
So when will pandemics end? When humans have manners? When humans quit despoiling the natural habitat? That's it. That's it. All the other conversation and like what would it end with, it was at a lab in Wuhan. It's like it's sort of extraneous. It's like the fundamental issue. No sense abdicating human responsibility. Like people are doing weather manipulation. Maybe, but what we're seeing with weather is all of our responsibility. It's human responsibility for having such bad manners. And I just wanted to bring in, our ancestors, and again, the deconditioning which allows them to allows us to understand really effective activists as intrinsically animistic. And I'm looking at 1822-21, the Neptune-Uranus conjunction, Harriet Tubman, and the wonderful book I often reference by Taya Miles, that Harriet Tubman saw the planets as gaseous guardian messengers, loved the deep water, loved the heretical plants, the herbs that were healing, and said, by the end of her life, she had become a guiding star, a hiding water, a living tree. Now, I love that. And then teammates, people who really knew, and Frederick Douglass, completely animistic. It's coming out now, more about like, whoa. And as was Matthew Arnold and Clara Barton and Mary Baker Eddy and Walt Whitman and Sir Richard Burton. Those are people all born with, again, the power of imagination. So we call on them as effective, true visionary activists, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I guess our blessings, may people be aware of the danger, not freaking out, but like, ooh, did you know? And remember, this is one of our great skills. A wonderful friend taught me years ago when I was like appalled that people weren't protesting the first Iraq war, and people were like, and my friend Barbara Goodrich Dunn said, people never mind being asked, did you know? Did you know? Mm-hmm. Did you know about the Marburg virus, that it's 90% fatality? It's brewing, but we have an information blackout because of these people. Did you know about this or that? Unless we ask it in a snarky way, but did you know? Just let's put it in our magic backpack as one of our skills, as a way of certainly spiraling out of polarity, because asking a question back changes it's unexpected, and it changes the whole dynamic. And then there's a conversation. So we know that tyranny feeds on polarity and tyranny feeds on grievance. So dissolving grievance, dissolving tyranny, and that we strengthen whatever we resist says, Ursula Le Guin says we strengthen whatever we oppose. And it's probably not the time to but I'll do it anyway, just to bring up, like, might we have other words for resistance? But it's there. It's the French resistance, very romantic. Okay, it's in place. Yeah,
Think of it as the first step. That resistance, that rebellion, that revolution. Hey, I'm all for it. I'm a Moon and Aries. But That's the first step, and you get stuck. It's like trying to get through the doorway and staring at the door jamb. This is only the beginning.
That's good.
It's a necessary step that, you know, we resist that, but then we have to, and where am I going instead? It has to be a two-part. I think it's going to be really important on this coming full moon at 24 Aquarius and Leo square Uranus at 23 Taurus, early Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. What gears do you want to shift? What would you like to change? What change can you take a step forward towards? What, you know, who can you join? Because that Aquarius lineup is saying the power that in this next decade is going to be on how we work together. It's that Aquarius work in a group, work, you know, recreate what the people means and how can we work together. And how can people, you know, this full moon is how can the people work together both to allow people to express themselves, but let no one expression overwhelm the gift of each individual person. And so I think that Leo Aquarius and that square to Uranus, it's so exciting that the gears are shifting, the clutch is in. Where do we want to change this and how do we want to change it? The potential is there for anything we create. But it's going to take work. And so if we can think of vision has to have work behind it. It has to be, you know, like, here's your vision, and now take a step in that direction. Do the work. Don't do the work without vision. That South Node in Virgo right now is saying, don't get stuck there, but take it and take what you know how to do and put it towards the new vision.
And we're on our way out, but I just wanted to do a brief reference of Jasmine Crockett being in Aries with the moon in Capricorn. She's kind of like the council of grandmothers who had the veto, the thing that was missing that's super. Well, we'll keep this going. Saturn bounding, judges now binding Elon Musk from having access. Anyway, there's many things going on, but we're all rowing together. Thank you so much, team. Thank you so much, Heather Rowan Robbins.
We will
be convening in perpetuity, and thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, wonderful board op. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.
Thank you. Oh, yeah,